हरे कृष्ण। Usually I welcome you, but today you are welcoming me. Thank you. Thank you very much for coming this evening. Tomorrow we are celebrating Sri Gaur Purnima. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, they have bestowed a blessing that anyone who sincerely observes the celebration of Gaur Purnima, the appearance day of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will surely attain his mercy of love for Krishna. In order to facilitate a nice festival tomorrow, we are going to end very early this evening, and we'll begin the narration of Gaur Katha tomorrow morning at about 8 o'clock. Tonight, I just wanted my two sannyasi godbrothers, His Holiness Kavichandra Swami Maharaj and His Holiness Barasana Swami Maharaj, to speak briefly of their appreciation of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada as the very embodiment and deliverer of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. We know that Srila Prabhupada, he came to the West on the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda both on several occasions expounded their mission to spread love of Krishna all over the world through the congregational chanting of the holy names. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had declared that he had descended in this world to bring the holy name of Krishna and Krishna Bhakti to the whole world. One time, His Holiness Vishnu Jana Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada a question. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of all controllers, and we see the power in which he spread Krishna consciousness in Navadvip, in his tour of South India. Whoever he looked upon became a pure devotee of Krishna, wept from the eyes, and chanted the holy names in love instantly. That was his power. This devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled throughout India, but certainly had the power. Why did he not fulfill his own prophecy? Why did he not spread Krishna consciousness in every town and village in the world as he declared he would? Our beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, assumed a very humble disposition. And from his heart, he spoke as a matter of fact. He said, Lord Chaitanya, he saved that work for me. from the time of Gaur Nitai, the spreading of Harinam Sankirtan throughout the world was established as the mission of the Lord. In all of the great acharyas, they were all playing their role to help fulfill that mission. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent the six Goswamis to Sri Vrindavan Dham, where they established literatures which would be the foundational basis to establish pure bhakti for all time to come. And through their behavior, they established the highest, most perfect qualities of Vaishnavism. They established temples and the holy dham. And our other beloved acharyas, how they manifested such immense transcendental potencies, like Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, in transforming every variety from the lowest murderous dacoits to kings and brahmins and learned scholars. Transformed all of these various people's hearts through their love, through their knowledge, through their compassion. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he understood this vision. All the acharyas understood this vision. But we should know that each and every one of our previous acharyas were specifically playing their particular role according to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's plan. The plan of unfolding this prediction. Thakur Bhakti Vinod, he first sent in the English language books of Lord Chaitanya's teachings to the Western world, and was having dialogue through letters with great scholars and authors of the West. And his son, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, established 64 mutts and sent his top man to the West to preach. And it is very interesting. There is a transcript of the lecture of the instructions that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave to those sannyasis that he was sending to the West. It was the first time Gaudiya Vaishnavas in the pure line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be going outside of India to London and to Germany. And of course, at that time, London was the capital of India. We were under British Empire. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Yadubar Prabhu, please sit with us, if you wish. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that when you go to the West, you must follow the guidelines of Prabodhananda Saraswati in your way of preaching. You cannot go in a conceited, arrogant way that we know better than you. You listen to us. You're in Maya. We are liberated. Surrender. Rather, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if you want to reach these people, you have to put straw between your teeth, which is personifying the most humble position. The straw and the street everyone steps upon, we're lifting it up and putting it within our teeth. That means we're lower than the straw in the street. That is what this act represents, that I am lower than the straw in the street. And then with folded hands, we should say to the object of our discussion that you are a very learned man, very intelligent, very expert, and you're very honorable, and I offer you all respect. I have only one request. By this time, because you're appreciating the person, his heart is open, or her heart is very wide open. When someone respects you, honors you, shows affection toward you, your heart naturally opens. And because people like to be appreciated, they gain trust in you. Now, dear sir, I have only this one request. Kindly forget everything you know and hear the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. This must be the mood in which you preach in the West. As humble servants of every living being, I was just thinking, Srila Prabhupada, how he appreciated people so deeply. And they trusted him so much. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent those devotees to the West to preach and gave all of his disciples the order to fulfill Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction, every town and village. It was Lord Chaitanya's plan all along. Srila Prabhupada, I was discussing this with Barsana Maharaj just the other day. He told one of his personal servants that in the spiritual world of Vrindavan, Krishna told him to come to this world to preach. And Srila Prabhupada didn't want to leave Vrindavan. But Krishna said, no, no, you go. You just write some books, and I will be there with you to empower you and to help you at every step. Srila Prabhupada came to this world for this purpose. His whole life was in preparation. Can you imagine at the age of 70, he was hoping his godbrothers would have done it. But no one had the strength. Nobody was really given that empowerment to do it. But Srila Prabhupada crossed the Arabian Sea. The Arabian Sea is only a 2-minute walk from where we're sitting. He was only a couple days into the Arabian Sea when he had his heart attacks. It wasn't like he was in the Atlantic Ocean close to New York. He had his heart attacks at the beginning of his journey. It was over a 30-day journey. And in the Arabian Sea, seasickness, 2 heart attacks. And he was writing in his diary, when he was able to write again, how much he was feeling separation from Sri Vrindavan Dham, his eternal home, and Radha Govinda, Radha Damodar, Radha Madan Mohan, and Radha Gopinath. Feeling such separation. But he said, I'm very glad, because this is the order of my spiritual master. It is the order of Lord Chaitanya. That was his sacrifice. And when Srila Prabhupada came to the Western world, who did he know? He was in New York, practically alone. And he was speaking to young people. He was the age of their grandfather. Everyone he was speaking to was eating meat, taking intoxications. Most were having illicit sex and gambling their lives away, had no real conception of God, utterly rejected organized religion as hypocrisy, rejected the older generation. But because Prabhupada had such humility, such deep love and appreciation for these people, and was manifesting Krishna in such an all-attractive way, that these people trusted him so much that when he told them to give up everything, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating, to give up the whole society that they were living in and live in a temple and shave their heads and wear dhotis and saris and put on paint on their face and go out in public and believe in Krishna, they never heard of Krishna. Prabhupada came and told them that God has a blue complexion like a monsoon rain cloud. And he plays a flute. This is God. You should surrender to him. And they did. They gave up everything to surrender. Why? Because they had trust. They had faith in whatever he said and whatever he did. Balabhadra, he described about Lord Chaitanya that anyone, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartana, that anyone who can spread Krishna consciousness all over the world is a Shaktivesh avatar, is an empowered incarnation of Krishna. And some of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, seeing the incredible work that he did, declared that he is a Shaktivesh avatar, empowered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. The mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just last month when we heard from Shamsundar Prabhu, Yamuna, Devi Prabhu, and other senior Prabhupada disciples, Prabhupada's humor, Prabhupada's compassion, Prabhupada's very personal nature was so much the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How Prabhupada had such total faith in Prasad, the holy name, the worship of the deity. Everything we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Prabhupada gave to us. How Lord Chaitanya worshipped the deity of Tota Gopinath, Kirchor Gopinath, Jagannath. How Chaitanya Mahaprabhu organized Nam Sankirtan, arranged for his devotees to start temples, ordered his devotees to print books. Everything that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the six Goswamis to do, everything that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did himself, Prabhupada embodied all of those principles and established ISKCON on that basis. When someone asked Prabhupada, what is our qualification for receiving this great gift? Prabhupada, in all humility and honesty, said, you have no qualifications. I made your qualifications. But he wasn't saying it with any type of ego, because he was fully aware that it was Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who he established in hundreds of temples all over the world. It was their mercy flowing through Parampara that he claimed was his only qualification. So we only know about Gaur Purnima because of Srila Prabhupada's great love for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how much effort he made to establish a center in Sri Mayapur Dham, and how much he encouraged devotees from all over the world to come on a regular basis on pilgrimage to Sri Mayapur Dham to gain a deeper and greater understanding of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in the midst of his translation of Srimad Bhagavatam, he brought it to a halt to translate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In fact, one of the first books that he wrote when he was in the West was the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada was the very embodiment of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we want to begin this festival in the most appropriate way by offering our profoundest appreciation and gratitude to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And today we're going to ask these two transcendental personalities to speak on their appreciation of Srila Prabhupada as the emissary of Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya. You all know His Holiness Kavichandra Swami Maharaj. He's been giving lectures here for the last 2 days of our festival. Such a sincere, dedicated, and completely devotional personality. He's a man who's like a pillar, like a rock in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. I've told the story many times, but once he had severe malaria and he was unconscious in something like a coma. And I went to visit him in the hospital. He was unconscious for days. And he happened to open his eyes, and I happened to be standing right in front of him when he came out of his unconscious state. And the first thing he did, first words out of his mouth, he said, "Maharaj, help me to distribute Prabhupada's books in Africa." First words out of his mouth. He wasn't even fully conscious. He was just, it's just his heart. I'll never forget that moment. He is just totally dedicated to Srila Prabhupada. Let us welcome His Holiness Kavichandra Swami Maharaj. And we have with us, I'll give a little more ornamented introduction because it is the first time in his life he has ever come to Radha Gopinath Temple. His Holiness Barsana Swami Maharaj. Maharaj and I have been such dear and best friends since 1972. When I had just returned from India, I stopped in the temple in Amsterdam, London, and then in Florida, Miami, And I heard Prabhupada was in New York, so I hitchhiked from Florida to New York. And when I was there to meet Srila Prabhupada, that was the first time Barsana Maharaj came to an ISKCON temple to see Srila Prabhupada. So we were there at the same time. And just a couple months after that, Barsana Maharaj came to New Vrindavan. And the moment we met, we became very close. He was so eager to hear about Vrindavan. And in those days, I was not allowed to speak about Vrindavan. I was actually officially banned from speaking about Vrindavan. Yes? Because the leader of the community thought if I talked about Vrindavan, because I used to talk about it very enthusiastically, because I just came from there, he thought that everyone would go to Vrindavan and no one would stay at New Vrindavan. Now, Prabhupada said New Vrindavan and Vrindavan were non-different. So the leader of the community used to say, New Vrindavan is non-different than Vrindavan, so if you stay in New Vrindavan, it's non-different than going to Vrindavan. But after I would tell people about Vrindavan, they used to give the argument, that means if we go to Vrindavan, that means we're still at New Vrindavan. So rather than deal with it philosophically, he just made a ban. But Barsana Maharaj and I would go to secret places in the forest and speak about Vrindavan and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. And we had that relationship. Barsana Maharaj was known and loved as the very personification of total surrender. Srila Prabhupada, when he came to New Vrindavan in 1969, he said things that people could not understand. He said, you should move that mountain from here and move it over here. Or make this mountain flat. Or make this mountain a valley. Nobody understood what that meant until Barsana Maharaj came. In the early days when he first came, I was taking care of cows and he was taking care of horses and oxen. He used to plow the fields and he would work 12, 18 hours a day. The hardest worker. And then gradually, when there was a need for some heavy equipment machinery, he started moving mountains. He was making hills into beautiful lakes with ghats. He was making just garbage dump into a beautiful, beautiful panoramic scene to build Prabhupada's palace in. He was working day and night. Such a hard worker. Simply out of surrender, sacrificing his health, everything, to carry out his duties. But he was always very quiet. Never gave a class. But then one day, he just got off his tractor and gave a class about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And people were spellbound. And ever since that day, he just got off his tractor and started speaking eloquently, philosophically about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's glories with so much devotion and enthusiasm. that in a very short amount of time throughout the world, people were longing to hear Barsana Maharaj speak. He is one of the dearest friends of my own life personally, and a person who is so sweetly absorbed in Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. A person who has so totally sold his heart, his soul, his life to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. And he has never come to Radha Gopinath Temple until today. Let us... And his health is very, very weak. He has many chronic illnesses. It's amazing that he's willing to come here and be at this festival with us today. So please, let us show our immense gratitude and appreciation to His Holiness Sripad Barsana Swami Maharaj. Kavi Chandra Maharaj, would you like to speak?
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavari Paschatare Satarane Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam. I don't have much realization about all these things, but and Radhana Swami said everything I was thinking of already. But I could just stress on the Rath Yatra in Lord Jagannath. Lord Chaitanya was so much dedicated to Jagannath. He lived there for a great portion of his life, worshipping Lord Jagannath, and always attending Rath Yatra and dancing in ecstasy. Srila Prabhupada, from, 5 years old, he made a Rath Yatra. He was worshipping Lord Jagannath as a child and making his own Rath Yatra and arranging everything, arranging the neighbor boys and even the adults. Then one of the first things he did in America was in San Francisco was make Rath Yatra. Lord Jagannath appeared to him by his own free will. And then he immediately engaged our Shyamasundar to make a big Jagannath. And then he made Rath Yatra. And gradually Rath Yatras were happening all over. I remember, I don't know exactly what year, but 71 through 74, those years, there were more and more Rath Yatras in America, and Srila Prabhupada was racing all over the world to go to Rath Yatras. He would go to London Rath Yatra, then fly to San Francisco, and then fly to Chicago, and then Philadelphia, then New York, just, you know, and dancing in ecstasy. That famous story how he went in London from being very sick in India and had made decision to go to Hawaii and rest, suddenly decided to go to London for Rath Yatra and danced so vigorously that the traffic was stopped and the police were trying to make him stop dancing. But he didn't stop dancing. He was jumping. The movie is there. So this intense love for Lord Jagannath is obviously... you know, just like Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya would dance. We all know the Rath Yatra Leelas. That's just one thing. Everything Srila Prabhupada did was, like Maharaj said, so what can I say? He loved the holy name. He didn't just, like George Harrison said, he didn't just say chant Hare Krishna. He was always chanting Hare Krishna. even in his grihastha life, he was the embodiment of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then I was going to tell about the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He stopped the work on Bhagavatam. He was somewhere, I said this morning, the seventh canto, and dedicated full energy to translating the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then did the amazing thing to get it published so fast. The BBT people had just become very proud. They had moved, you know, they were in Los Angeles, they'd become very organized, and Prabhupada had been chastising them for being behind of his translation work. So they came and they were telling him, now we can do one book every 2 months. This is a great accomplishment. So he came and said, you have to publish 17 books in 2 months. And they freaked out. They said it's impossible. And he got very angry. That's when he said that impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. And then he somehow or other inspired them and inspired everybody. And they did it. The devotees from the BBT, they didn't go to the temple, but they ate at the table. They slept at the table. The artists were painting and would fall asleep, and another artist would paint behind them. And Prabhupada stayed there also to keep everybody going. And it came. The whole Chaitanya Charitamrita. And, you know, he wanted that published. Like you said, the first book was, the first big book they had in America was the Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Nobody could distribute very much, but devotees were reading it. So all these things indicate Prabhupada was, you know, the personification, fully empowered, and dance in so much ecstasy. Everybody would dance. Everybody, like here, at least here we see this, always hands in the air, always like floating in ecstasy in this very simple Swami step that everybody did it. Everyone who saw it was enamored. Everyone who saw him would, you know, would notice all these things. I'm not very qualified. I was hoping Shyamasundar Prabhu will speak, but, and I'm sure Varshana Maharaj has much more. I know he was one of the first ones to really be absorbed in all the Chaitanya Leelas. Even made a nice book there some years ago. It was one of the first times we were exposed to so many of Lord Chaitanya's Leelas. Srila Prabhupada was always absorbed in all these things and always absorbed in distributing prasadam, distributing books, preaching Srimad Bhagavatam, all the things Lord Chaitanya did, all the things he told his disciples to do. Prabhupada did them unlimitedly, all of them. Moving all over the world and indiscriminately preaching to everyone, accepting anyone and everyone who had the least bit of interest as a devotee, having absolutely no, you know, consideration, taking all the jagais and mudais. Prabhupada said that one, that there were only two jagai and mudai, but now everyone is jagai and mudai. He said, all my disciples, he said, I'm not bragging, but all my disciples are jagai and mudai. And he took us. He didn't, never mentioned, you know, anything that from the past background or anything. He just simply, if he saw someone that would chant, he was in ecstasy. He knew that Lord Chaitanya liked that. He knew that he was, you know, the mission of Lord Chaitanya. So we're very, very fortunate that he gave us Lord Chaitanya. And he gave us Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahayanya. He gave everything. Without Prabhupada, nobody in the world, you know, there were many devotees that know something, but without Prabhupada, nobody else would know. he was the one that really understood this idea that in every town and village. In New York, a radio announcer, I don't know how he knew, but he said the Hindus, you know, they say that you shouldn't cross the ocean. So how did you happen to come here? Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya said every town and village, so he knew I was coming. Very matter of fact. Not just every town and village in Nadia district or something, but every town and village in the universe. And Prabhupada, you know, and he left such a powerful force of followers to carry on with translating his books, making more books, performing, you know, Chaitanya dramas all over the place. Unbelievable things. Inconceivable. He understood this. Kirata, Hunandra, Pulinda, Pukasa, Yavana, Kasadaya, Yeyanye, Chapapa, the Americans that have taken shelter of all sinful activities. They didn't belong to any particular caste of fallen sinful people. All kinds, all together. He could go there and without any fear, just ecstatically chant, and we see the results all over the world. So everybody knows it, and we want everyone to know more and more. So we want to distribute all these books and give the... This movement is Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada, you know, manifested all of Lord Chaitanya's Leela going on. Everywhere there's kirtan and prasadam and more prasadam and more kirtan, more books everywhere. So I don't know what else to say. I'd like to hear others. I've never heard Varshana Maharaj myself speaking, only heard about him. So I thank you all for being here. This place is definitely a proof of how Prabhupada, you know, represented Lord Chaitanya and is the embodiment. And he also said that he left the work for us, you know. Lord Chaitanya, he said that Lord Chaitanya had this power that anyone that would see him would start chanting and dancing. But Prabhupada said, he has not given me that power. He said, I have to work very hard. So he worked very hard, but he had that power. He said that everywhere, any devotees who contacted him, somehow they'd want to chant and dance. They want to surrender everything, do anything, and serve Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hari Bol. Sri Varshana Maharaj ki jai. Ready?
Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvasesa Sunivari Paskatati Sudharine. To prepare our consciousness properly to worship the most memorable event which has ever transpired in the life of the universe, Sri Gaur Purnim, we are gathered together to discuss the most appropriate topic of how Srila Prabhupada is the very embodiment of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. It is stated in the scriptures that one who has implicit faith in both the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord, to him all the imports of Vedic wisdom are revealed from within the heart. Actually, we would have no access, no understanding, no appreciation of the appearance of the golden avatar without the grace of Srila Prabhupada, as Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj just explained. when the devotees question Srila Prabhupada about this phenomena that in the Western world there were some devout Christians, and in comparison to them, the kind of people that Srila Prabhupada was picking up from the gutters were very low. And to these lowest and most degraded fallen souls, called generically hippies, Srila Prabhupada was giving the highest knowledge, the most intimate understanding of potential relationship with God. How can this be? And Srila Prabhupada very clearly replied that you have no qualification. I have created your qualification. Srila Prabhupada was empowered, he was able to create our qualification, because as the perfect embodiment of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kindness, love, and compassion, he was so surrendered to the will, the desire, the pleasure, the order of his spiritual master, that he would do things that no one else would consider. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted, also Lord Nityananda very clearly, different times, different places, the famous shloka, Prativityatiyata Nagaradigram, Sarvapachara Habimadanam. In as many towns and villages there are on the surface of this earth, my holy name shall be sung. Srila Prabhupada would quote that verse sometimes to his godbrothers when he was trying to inspire them to work together to fulfill the order of their spiritual master. And one response he got was, that verse means every town and village in India. India is the world. Mahaprabhu did not mean that the message and the holy name would go beyond the borders of India. But Srila Prabhupada was emphatic. When he says the world, it means the world. And actually that's scripturally founded in the Bhagavat Mahatmya, the glories of the Bhagavatam. There's a wonderful pastime of Bhakti Devi, personified Bhakti, leaving Vrindavan with her two sons, Gyan and Vairagya. And they went on pilgrimage through every state in India. And all the time, they were becoming more and more diminished, until by the time they returned to Vrindavan, they were very old. And returning to Vrindavan, Bhakti Devi regained her youth and vigor. Vigyan and Vairagya did not. And even when Narada Muni appeared and recited various shastras to them, they were not revived until Narada Muni recited the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing which Gyan and Vairagya were revived with fresh new life. And then Bhakti Devi made a prediction that in the first she explained, listing every state in India which they had just traveled through. And after listing all the places in India, she said, in the future I will leave this land and go beyond the borders of India. So scripturally, Srila Prabhupada was accurate in saying that Mahaprabhu's verse does not refer to India as the world. It means the whole planet and beyond. How did Bhakti Devi arrive on Western shores? Bhakti Devi is a pastime in the Bhagavat Mahatmya, the glories of the Bhagavatam. Bhakti Devi arrived on Western shores in the hold of one cargo ship, appropriately named Jaladuta, the messenger from the waters. On that cargo ship was both Book Bhagavat and Person Bhagavat. Because we cannot understand the Book Bhagavat without the Person Bhagavat. As Srila Prabhupada was asking his associates in Vrindavan, who participated together in the kind of writer's support group, he knew they would not give their blessings for him to cross the ocean. So when he had his first Bhagavatams printed, and he was handing them around to his associates, saying, please bless these books, because they are going to the Western world. And his associates all blessed those Bhagavatams. And then Srila Prabhupada said, well, these books can't go alone. They need someone to carry them and distribute them and protect them and explain them. And I'm the one. So please bestow your blessings upon me also. Srila Prabhupada could be very tricky. So one thing we can glean from the life of Srila Prabhupada, unlimited things we can, but in this regard, one very important point is that he took his spiritual master's order as his very life and soul. That historic first meeting in Calcutta when his friend Naren dragged Srila Prabhupada to the lotus feet of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And before even getting up from the ground after offering obeisances, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave them their life's mission. You're intelligent young men, you should preach Mahaprabhu's message in the West. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave that order and instruction to many. But Srila Prabhupada took that instruction as his life and soul. And it was not easy for him. At first he thought he should make money and that would be helpful in the mission. But as his business was failing and his family was losing interest, and he came upon the verse in the Bhagavatam where Krishna says, when I really favor a devotee, I take everything away. Yasyaham anagrinami harishe tadanam shanai. And he asked his godbrother, does this refer to me? And he said, yes. So at the point when Srila Prabhupada was, actually even when he took sannyas in Mathura, and he was asked to give the lecture, there was only a few devotees there, most of whom did not understand English. He gave the lecture in English. And then when he was trying so long and so hard to get a ticket to America, and even Sumati Maharaji, she refused to give it, because she thought that he, as she said in her own words, Swamiji, you're just going there to die. He had to sit under the steps leading to her office and wait until he was given a personal audience with her and he himself convinced her to give the ticket. So here is Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya's ambassador of worldwide mission. Krishna could have given him an air ticket, first class air ticket. Why did Krishna make it so difficult for Srila Prabhupada? Because ultimately, different reasons. One is that Krishna loves to glorify his devotees, as the devotees love to glorify Krishna. And in that mutual exchange of expressing their love, their affection for one another is ever increasing. And Srila Prabhupada's life is just a continual story of sacrifice and deep humility. And this is why we can authoritatively state that he is the personification of Mahaprabhu's mercy. Srila Prabhupada explained in his purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where the verse refers to receiving knowledge by bowing down one's head at the feet of the preceptor. And Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport, this means repeating the message as it is, not trying to add anything, but just as a postal peon, the analogy that Srila Prabhupada used, very humbly just presenting the message as it is. Nothing added, nothing subtracted. Adjusted to time, place, and circumstance. But very humbly, where there is such humility and such sacrifice, the power, the potency, the glory, the enlightenment of the parampara can flow through. And this is what we found in Srila Prabhupada. When he was questioned by reporters why he had come to the West, you're coming from a poor nation, why are you coming to the West to beg? He said, no, I've come to remind you of what you've forgotten. Even here in Mumbai, we can meditate on the wonderful pastime that Shyamasundara Prabhu told. I've heard secondhand how when Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture at Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan on the corner, and after the lecture, coming out of the building, he pointed in this direction and said, we should have a center here. Devotees did not know that when they established the center here. And now, this is one of the most glorious temples in the universe, filled with so much life and so much love. And this is Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And we find repeatedly, over and over again, Srila Prabhupada's visions, his dreams, his plans, his desires are so pure and selfless that Krishna himself takes it upon himself to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's every desire. So Srila Prabhupada wanted Mahaprabhu's words, Prativati Yatsi Yati, Nagaradigram, Sarvapat Pachara Habimodanam, to be fulfilled. He took Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's words, instructions, mission as his life and soul. And this is part of a long plan unfolding over the ages. At the beginning of the Kali Yuga, Narada Muni, seeing how terribly degraded this age would be and how the living entities would be suffering, out of great compassion, He traveled throughout the universe to different planets, to Goloka, to Vaikuntha, even to Goloka. And in Goloka, Narada Muni actually had darshan of the golden avatar. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Goloka gave solace in by his words to Narada Muni that I will appear in the Kali Yuga to propagate this Harinam Sankirtan movement. And in those foreign countries where people try to flee my mercy, I will send more Senapati Bhakta, my commander in general of the devotees, to uplift those fallen souls. This perfect description of Srila Prabhupada's mission in person. So, of all the glorious days that have transpired in the past or await us in the future, philosophically speaking, Sri Krishna Janmashtami and Gaur Purnima are equal. When Lord Sri Krishna appeared in his complete and original form, philosophically speaking, these days are equal. But from the standpoint of the fallen souls of this world and their potential, we have to say that the day or the evening when the Lord appeared in his golden form, richly endowed with the mercy and complexion of Srimati Radharani, is greater, because in that avatar the Lord fully bestowed his mercy upon this world. But along with the appearance of the Lord, there is another event which is of equal significance, and that is the appearance of Srila Prabhupada. So we are preparing to worship and celebrate the appearance of the golden avatar, but trying to appreciate in deeper and deeper ways, and we can continue going deeper forever, as to how Srila Prabhupada is the personification and perfection of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy and love. So, with heartfelt appreciation and gratitude to all the Vaishnavas whose grace has allowed us to finally, because the last time when I was in Bombay, this temple did not exist. But in contemplating where to celebrate Gaur Purnima, Bombay would not have been a likely choice, but I found in Bombay a replica of Vrindavan called Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. And I'm just so eternally indebted to my old guide and friend, His Holiness Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj, who I knew as a cowherd boy. He took care of the cows and I took care of the horses and oxen in the same barn. And I just always wanted to know, what is it like in the holy dham where Krishna or Mahaprabhu appear in this world? And as Maharaj explained, we were actually forbidden to discuss such things in New Vrindavan. So I was very reluctant to approach Maharaj at first. But I still don't know why, but there was a pile of coal that we used in the forge to make horseshoes. So whenever we needed to make horseshoes, I would gather coal and then fire up the forge and make horseshoes. And for some reason, I asked him once, and he had no idea himself, but Maharaj would come to that coal pile and gather coal for some reason, which we never figured out. And then one night, I couldn't help but ask him, even though we were forbidden, but I finally had to ask him, what is it like in Vrindavan? And his demeanor became very grave. And he did not respond for some time. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. And when he again came to external consciousness, he began explaining the glories of Vrindavan Dham. And he never stopped. And personally, until it was time to meet Srila Prabhupada, I'd never been to a city. But in visiting Henry Street Temple in Brooklyn, I experienced what Srila Prabhupada said, that our temples are not different from Vaikuntha. So coming to Bombay, I've experienced a deeper dimension of that principle. That wherever devotees lovingly and enthusiastically congregate to chant the holy names and to worship Krishna, that place is Vrindavan. And I've never seen this temple before. But what a wonder it is that in the heart of Bombay, which to somebody like me is hell, there is this perfect manifestation of Vrindavan. So, thank you all for your participation in manifesting this reality, especially to His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, who has always been such a spiritual inspiration in the lives of devotees. And we thank Srila Kavitanda Maharaj for his descriptions of Rath Yatra, which is the very image of Mahaprabhu's heart, which is why it was so dear to Srila Prabhupada. And let us always remember that our good fortune and our qualification has been created by Srila Prabhupada. So with this foundation for our understanding, we will properly prepare our consciousness to worship the most glorious event in the life of the universe, the appearance of Sri Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani, the most merciful avatar who bestows what no one else, even Krishna himself, has ever offered, pure love of God. And therefore, he is the most merciful. And Srila Prabhupada is the embodiment of that mercy. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you very much, Maharajas. Shall we have a few minutes, kirtan? Mangalarti is at 5 o'clock in morning. Please come if possible. And there will be a special Srimad Bhagavatam class beginning at 8:30 tomorrow morning. and then a grand festival with Abhishekam, lecture, Maha Arati, and Prasad tomorrow evening. Now we shall have Kirtan for Sri Radha Gopinath's pleasure.